You are listening to PLV Radio Network. Join us in celebrating all of life's possibilities.
Morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another Positive Vibrations Roundtable. And we're bringing you some quantum energy today. Our very everything that is living on it has an energy signature. How do we tap into it, and how do we understand that life's energy force and use it in our daily lives? Now, I interviewed Richard Gordon a little while ago on quantum energy, on the quantum healing. He's written a most brilliant how-to book where anybody can become that quantum energy healer. And we have Bill Mackey, my co-pilot in business, who uses that quantum energy in everything he does in life, in business, in his health, in absolutely everything. So we have the ultimate user and we have the ultimate teacher. And our goal here today is to show you how easy it is to embrace that beautiful energy that is in us, all around us, how to tap into it, how to use it, and how to have it benefit your life. Because of course, when you are vibrating on a beautiful energy signature, you are resonating out to everyone else. Absolutely everybody benefits. So to listen to Richard's show, please, you just go to the posting and you'll catch it there from previously. And of course, Bill Mackey is also with Wise Health Show with Sue Manathan, where they talk about health every week, and he talks about energy health, and you can catch his shows there. But let's bring them on and let's get energized. Welcome to the show, Bill and Richard.
Thank you for having us on.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
So I know that Bill was incredibly impressed by your book, Richard. But, you know, before we get to that, just let everybody know a little bit about who you are and what you're doing so that we can reintroduce you.
Well, I'm Richard Gordon. I'm the founder and author of Quantum Touch. And it's a form of energy medicine, energy healing. I've been in the field for about 40 years now. I've written 3 best-selling books. We've got certified practitioners in over 50 countries around the world, and we offer people ways of being able to amplify the life force energy that flows through them all the time and to be able to direct it to accelerate the healing process. And I've taken pride in removing all the woo-woo from the whole business of energy healing and make it available to people very easily and very quickly.
And with your book, you most certainly do that. A lot of people will go and write these things in rather in a highfalutin way that really the layman people don't understand. But you've really done it in such a beautiful way and so simply that it's very easy to follow. And I know this is what impressed Bill. So Bill, just give a little synopsis of you, and then why don't you actually go into what the book actually meant to you?
Sure.
Okay, my background, I was born this way. It's not something I was taught, something that I learned. In my family, it's a hereditary thing. It gets passed down from generation to generation. And there's a pattern. I just happened to be in that generation, that particular person in that generation who received this gift. And it allows me to read energy in very unique ways. And I use it in my health all the time. For those of you who don't know much about me, check out the site. The stuff I've had to overcome in life, I've healed myself through some pretty amazing things. And even to this day, right now, I use it to control continuous 24-hour-a-day pain. I live in constant pain all the time, excruciating pain, pain that would probably keep most people debilitated. But I have found a way of dealing with this energy and use it so I can overcome it. I've broken my back 4 or 5 times now. I've got Parkinson's. I've got neuromuscular disorders outside of that, and I've also got scoliosis, and I got degenerative bone disease. And I manage all of these.
And OCD.
And OCD, to make matters worse. Plus, I've been in several accidents, which have resulted in several brain traumas. So this energy thing that we're talking about, folks, it is all around you all the time. And people always ask me how I do it. And the amazing thing was, is Sarah did a show a few weeks back with Richard. And he actually was kind enough to send a copy of the book to me. And I looked at the book and I said, wow, this is amazing. Because now, thanks to Richard, and I use this as a Bible now, anybody who wants to know what I do, this book has been so well written, and it's written in such a fashion that if you really, really want to know the secret that we know, this book will walk you through it. And everything that's in this book works 100% if you believe in yourself. That's the key thing about, I think Richard will agree with me too. In order to make this work for yourself, you have to truly believe that you can heal yourself. As soon as you start really loving yourself and open up those channels to allow this energy to flow through your body, you can do amazing things, absolutely amazing things. And this book is a guide that will help you do it, and it's written in such a way that it's easy for you to understand.
Exactly.
And one of the cool things, I just want to read one section from the book that really strikes the core with me. It's a section in the book. It's under your imagined chapter. It's basically just the first paragraph. I believe that this is a good time to share the dream that I've been holding on for over 20 years. And in this pivotal time, perhaps this dream can take root and begin to manifest. From part deep within myself, like a silent prayer, I've been holding a vision close to my heart. I imagine a future where life force is universally accepted as being real. Real in the way, the same sense that we accept magnetism and gravity. And while there's an increasingly popular awareness of Qi, Chi, and Prana, in scientific circles, the life force energy is still considered a little more than a myth and folklore. And for me, that sums up exactly where I stand. I look at quantum energy. I know it mathematically. I've built models. I've got tools I'm developing right now that allow people to understand how the quantum energy flows through people. And with this book, I highly recommend it. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Richard.
Wow, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. I'll tell you, from my experience, believing in yourself is actually not vital to the process, because I have not met a single skeptic who's been able to make it through a quantum touch workshop with their skepticism intact. I don't even ever teach people or encourage people to use suggestion or belief as part of the process, because the work is so powerful in and of itself that even if you came doubting and knowing that this was impossible, just by doing the exercises. I remember it was really funny one time, a woman had dragged her husband to my workshop, and he was pretty miserable at the very beginning. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm a chiropractor." I said, "Oh, great." So when it came time to do the very first demonstration of healing work, I called on him. I said, "Well, since you're a chiropractor and you're good at measuring, why don't you come up here?" And we measured somebody's posture. And he said, "Oh, they're very high on the right-hand side of their hip." I said, "Okay, well, since you're there, why don't you demonstrate to the class how a light touch can move the bones back into alignment?" He said, "Well, I've never seen it done. I know it's impossible, and I know I can't do it." And I said, "Well, that's all quite irrelevant. Why don't you just put your hands lightly on the hips and start moving the energy the way I taught you?" And I checked his hands, and his hands were like iron grips because he's used to using force. And I shook his hands 4 or 5 times. Each time his hands got lighter and lighter until he was just barely touching. He said, "Like this, just barely touching?" I go, "Yeah, that's the way. Now move the energy in the breathing the way I taught you." And he did. And in 20 seconds, I said, "Check it now." And the hips were totally aligned. He was so shocked that he said, "I got to see that again." So he did it again on 5 different people in the class, one after another after another. And then he was like leaning back on a wall, just shaking his head, holding his head, you know, his hand to his head, just shaking it, going, "Oh my God." Because the whole structure of his belief system around force to cause change had just been annihilated. And I did nothing in terms of trying to give him suggestions. And as you know, there's nothing in my book about using suggestion either.
No.
All you need to, like I said in my polarity book that came out in 78, you don't need to believe in the ocean to get wet, but you've just got to jump in.
Yeah, that's a very, very paramount statement to make. I might have used the word thing about belief. I meant belief in that, you know, this is a reality.
Yes.
That this quantum energy does exist, that's what you do have to believe in. It's not a matter of whether you believe in God or any of that, but if you have to understand that this really does exist. It's not a hypothetical thing. It really does exist and it really does work. And I want to share with you another story that actually will actually confirm more the power of this book.
Sure.
I have a friend of mine. I can't do much in life anymore, so I spend a lot of time just out talking with people, sharing my life story and stuff. And I've become very good friends with a guy. And there was a weird bond that was formed between me and him and his wife. Really weird bond. And it took a while for the barriers to break down. And then he asked me, because he sees me in the pain and stuff, because some days I have good days, some days I have bad days. It's just one of those things. You have to know how to balance it. The main thing is, if you're doing this, folks, don't give up, because you just have to keep practicing. It's something you have to do every day. So we started talking, and he asked me, I says, yeah, well, I do this energy thing, but I don't have a name for it. It's just the way I live. I can actually, myself personally, mm-hmm. if I look at somebody, I can actually see the energy.
Yeah.
Like flow right through their body. And I can read it with my hands. I can be 1,000 miles away from somebody and read their energy if I can pick up on their signature. Right. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this, and he says, well, you know, I've had this thing since I was a kid. And we started talking about it. And then he mentioned, says, yeah, about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, he remembered picking up a book. And he says, it was a book on quantum touch. So we're talking about coincidences here, folks. This only happened a few weeks ago after I'd received the book. And I says, you know what? My partner here just did a show interviewing a guy who wrote a book on quantum touch. So I lent him the copy of the book. And he says, this time I read it from beginning to end, and it blew me away. But what he realized is that when he first read it, he knew that's what he was doing. And in the 10 years since he started practicing it, his skill level had actually increased without him even knowing, because he read the book. The cool thing is, if you read the book, you may only be able to start off and remember and practice a couple of things, but the conscious mind has retained the whole book. And it's taken that and it's stuffed it off in your subconscious mind. So the whole book is there, folks, once you've read it. And then it's just a matter of time. As you start practicing this, you evolve. And it taps into what you've read in the book, and you start pulling it out. And subconsciously now, you become a master healer. This guy's become a master healer without even realizing. He read the book through and says, wow, I remember when I read that like 10 years ago, I didn't believe this was possible, and that was possible. But you know what? Now I'm actually doing it. And he didn't realize it was all because of the book. The book implanted the seed in his brain that allowed his brain to reprocess the way he thought, the way he lived life. And he can now do amazing things with quantum touch without even realizing it.
Before you go any further, I think one of the things I want to interject here is that, I don't do the quantum energy in the same way that you guys do. For me, it's emotional. I tap into the emotional energy, and that's where that healing process is. But, you know, the thing is about the book that I think is so utterly beautiful is its simplicity. You haven't done a quantum touch for dummies. And you haven't made it highfalutin that only certain people with PhDs understand. You've just made it an invitational step-by-step that's very, very easy to follow and use. You know, people could read things, but if it's not usable, it's just going to get put down, oh, that was a good book, but I don't know how to use it. You've made a very usable book here that people can really use if they follow the steps. Or as you say, Bill, you know, they store it in their heads, and then just as they get out, they're even subconsciously... they're retaining that information, and it's coming out in the youth.
Yes.
Wow. And What can I add to all that?
He's got a conclusion to the story.
There's really cool thing about this book too. You're an amazing writer. Not only because you can take very advanced concepts and simplify them down to a point where a common man can understand them. I mean, you've saved me a hell of a lot of work. Thank you very much, because I am not a writer. I have no intentions on writing a book. I needed to find somebody like you in my life that I can hand this book to people and say, here, just read this. If you need some support and advice, you can ask me, because I understand this inside out and backwards. I do it a little bit differently. But the really cool thing about this book is the problem with dummies books is the dummies books only show you one way. This book does not put a limit on it. It basically treats everybody as being totally unique. There is no golden rule in this that everybody follows, and this is how it works for everybody. It allows you to figure it out Like, even in the book, you encourage people, this works this way for me, but it works this way for him, but it works a little bit different for this. It's very uniquely tailored. It just gives you the understandings of how this quantum energy works. But it recognizes and appreciates the fact that we're all unique individuals. And we each have a different way in which this energy flows through our bodies and the way we use it. And for that standpoint alone in the book, it's an amazing book, because it not only is it done in a layman's terms, but it's done in a non-restrictive way. It encourages you to experiment and discover your own groove, which is very important in this whole understanding of this quantum physics, metaphysics, whatever you want to call it, energy healing, is you have to find your own groove. All we are, myself and Richard, we're just guides. I mean, I use the energy in ways that are entirely different than the way Richard uses them. The effect is still the same. We use it to heal ourselves, and we use it to heal other people.
You know, we've got a certification program, and one of the qualifications for the certification program is for people to come up with their own insights and discoveries, because I don't believe that I have all the answers. Mm-hmm. Another thing is that each practitioner discovers that they can use it with whatever else they've ever learned in the past. So the physical therapist tells me, one man said that he only practices 10% of what he learned in college because quantum touch has replaced it. He said traditional physical therapy to him feels archaic and barbaric and medieval, because it's using force where energy could do the job. So we have practitioners of pretty much every modality, including physicians, who are using quantum touch in conjunction with whatever else they know. So that becomes a very successful thing. But I'm wondering, did you guys know that I wrote Quantum Touch 2.0, The New Human? Because it doesn't sound like you've tapped in on that one yet.
No, we haven't read that book yet.
Yeah, the one I've got is Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal, which was the one that was rewritten and released in 2006. Yeah, don't have a new book.
That one's in 17 languages.
Yeah.
The new one, Quantum Touch 2.0, The New Human, goes way beyond, because it shows you how to do the same amount of work in about one-third or one-fifth the amount of time and without touching. So as a demonstration of that work, I gave a keynote address at the University of Hong Kong, and I showed how we could untwist the pelvic torsion permanently of a stage full of people simultaneously in seconds. So we had about 17 people on stage. We measured the hips and the occiput of each person, the occipital ridge. And every single person had a misalignment that was quite visible. And so what I did was I did a meditation out loud where I merged everybody on stage into my mind, and then did about a 5-second session on the imaginary combination of all the people. And instantly, all of them became untwisted. We have a whole set of new human abilities that we're just beginning to tap in on. And this was the evolution after, I think it was like 10, 11 years after I wrote the Quantum Touch book, that I finally made a discovery big enough to write the sequel, Quantum Touch 2.0, The New Human.
Definitely got to get my hands on that one, because that's more like where I'm at. I don't touch people anymore. I don't have to. I can manipulate the energy. Like I said, I can do it from thousands of miles away.
Of course, yeah.
As long as you pick up the right signature from that person, you can manipulate it any way you want. And the cool thing about this, folks, is it really is totally non-invasive. I mean, there's one beauty of this is that we talk about force, but the beauty of this is it's totally non-invasive.
And there's no side effects.
Yeah, there's nothing except it works. It just works.
And this let's get back to the principle for a second. The reason there's no side effects and it works is because we're using that chi, that ki, that prana, that life force energy. And the life force energy works with the body's intelligence and with the spiritual intelligence of the system, does what the system wants to do, not necessarily what you think is supposed to happen. So you learn to raise your vibration by doing the breathing and body awareness exercises and tapping in on yourself. So you're always lifting your own vibration, and then what you're doing is you're creating a field of energy that the other person can start matching your vibration, and then their body heals itself. So we'd like to say that the definition of a healer is someone who was sick and got well. And a great healer is someone very sick who got well quickly, because we have this understanding that I don't know how to heal a cut on my finger, and I don't know how to heal a cut on your finger. I don't know how to heal anything, to be honest. I'm just a person. What do I know? But I know how to raise the energy, and the energy operates with that spiritual intelligence to do the healing. So we recognize we're not the healer. The person receiving the energy has to do their own self-healing. So all healing ultimately is self-healing.
Now, what I want to interject there is that we're talking physical at the present moment, but let's take the emotional well-being of the world at the present moment.
Sure.
And, you know, it's amongst any form of energy healers or energy awareness people at all, we know that by raising our vibration right now, and they say to over a 500, by raising that vibration, by raising that energy awareness, we are actually resonating that energy around the planet, which is in itself healing. You know, people don't think that intent or raising a vibration can do anything, but it does, doesn't it? It unites with other energies, and we're literally raising those good vibrations, which kind of overpower those thunderous negative vibes that are going on, which cause people to then go and harm themselves or harm other people.
Well, there's no question about it. And the most important level of healing is the emotional healing.
Yes.
And there's two primary avenues. And the first one is the obvious one, where people are emotionally honest and operate with integrity, responsibility, and self-trust, and they're able to express themselves and release the emotions directly. And I have a whole system that I developed I call Self-Created Health that teaches people how to find the emotional causes of reality creation, including health conditions. And when they release those emotions, not only do the symptoms go away, but people feel grateful for having had the condition, because it showed how they had shut down. But there's another whole avenue, which is the quantum touch, especially the level two work. We're seeing it working on emotional issues like addictions and bipolar and other kinds of conditions. I did a podcast. I haven't done many episodes, but I did one on, it's called The Possible Human. And I interviewed Deborah Gehr, who's one of my instructors, and Tyler Odysseus. They're both quantum touch teachers. And they were talking about working with Parkinson's, old traumas, ADHD. They talked about working with Alzheimer's, and a wide range of mental health issues. And they were just making incredible progress on all these people. And I asked them, are you just cherry picking and telling me your favorite stories? They said, of course we're telling you our favorite stories, but we're surprised when we don't see results. How many sessions are you giving? Well, 2, 3, 4, whatever it takes. And we're just seeing progress in between the sessions so that we're getting these kinds of results. So there's huge avenues of discovery available right now. And I'm so excited about the little bits of investigation and research that I'm still involved in, because the doors that are opening are just vast. And the implications of this are phenomenal, because people don't realize, first off, that their love has an impact, that their love is a real phenomena. It's not just an electromagnetic, electrochemical phenomenon in the brain, or a sentiment on a card, or a behavior that you engage in. Your love is actually a real force that has a physical impact on the outer world.
Yes.
And, oh my God, there's so many places to go with this conversation, but I thought I'd...
we only have an hour.
I'm going to take it in two directions, but first I want to, you know, I want to go back to Bill with the, you know, with the energy on the mental healing, because it clearly that's what he's done with himself. But before we go back there, I want to stay with the love vibe right now. We know how love heals, how it raises us up, how it helps us overcome, how it helps us live in a beautiful equilibrium of peace and tranquility, how simple love is. And, you know, this is what I'm saying is where, you know, in my world, you know, I'm the practitioner of that spirituality, where we're sending out those good vibrations of love, self-acceptance, understanding, compassion. And that measurable vibration is at the present moment, you know, reaching around the world, uniting with the universe, and is becoming that healing commodity where we're seeing the change in the world from that love vibration. But the love has to be within yourself first before you can send it out.
Yes, absolutely. It's really important. One of the things that happened with what we call the self-created health method is we find the emotional cause, and then we work to release the emotional cause. And after that's released, only then do we do the third and dangerous step, which is the insight that on some level you held on to this old pain for decades and you've been hurting yourself. Then we're ready for remorse and self-forgiveness. And not until then. So people who just repeat phrases like, I'm sorry, I forgive myself, have no power behind it because they don't know what they're forgiving. They haven't taken responsibility and they haven't released the intensity of those emotions first to be able to do that. So what we do is we go there, and when it's released in the most dramatic way and the forgiveness has happened to the depths of your soul, the explosive self-love that results from that is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It can't be contained and becomes love of your higher self, of God, Goddess, all that is.
And that's that love that is vibrating around the world, becoming part of that healing commodity. Now, Bill, I'm, you know, going to frame now back over to you with, obviously, you know, mental disorders, and using that kind of quantum energy in order to manage that without going kind of too deep into how you got discovered with OCD. Just how you use it today in keeping your OCD and your balance there.
In my particular case, actually, before I do that, I wanted to address something that Richard brought up, because he's talked about the his two that did that special thing where they were dealing with people ADD, ADHD, physical, Parkinson's, and all that. Cool thing is I'm one of those people, and one of the statements he made, if you get to know me really well, folks, the first thing that you will find for me, I am so thankful to God that I was given all these amazing abilities. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've broken my back 4 times. I've died once, twice. I have Parkinson's disease. I have a neurological disorder above and beyond the Parkinson's disease. I have spinal cord injury. I have brain trauma injuries. You know what? I'm the happiest, most thankful guy in the world that I have all these amazing things. They're amazing things to have actually survived and lived through. And because of that, that's how this whole energy thing works. The last experience I had happened about was 4 years ago. I wasn't paying attention, and I had a seizure. My Parkinson's kicked in. Wasn't paying attention. I stood up and broke my back. That's how it all started. And this whole self-love thing, I know how long it takes for my body to heal using this quantum method. And I realized I did something wrong. The Parkinson's got really bad. It got to a point where I basically was to a point where my body was healing itself. But the process of healing sometimes gets you to the point where you're going to go, it's a do or die situation. Because the healing process to rectify it all sometimes takes time. And it got to a point where I was like, I was about ready to give up. But the self-love thing, when I go out, I would go out for walks, and I could barely walk. Sarah will tell you, for me to walk across a 4-lane street would take me a minute, maybe 2 minutes. That's how slow I walk. I intentionally, every day, didn't care what the weather was like, I got up and said, I'm going for a walk. I walked a mile down to the coffee shop and back every day. That was my whole day. That was 11 hours. 3 hours to get there, 3 hours recovery time, 3 hours to get home. And the beauty of going through that process is along the way, you meet people and you change their perspectives of what they see. So people, when they see me out there and they see me struggling, see me having one of my seizures and stuff, they come up and they'd rush over and say, well, do you need help? I would turn to them and I'd say, no, don't worry about it, dude. I'm out on my Special Olympics training program. I'm actually on it, trying out for the Special Olympics archery team. And if you'd seen me, I'd be shaking because the Parkinson's, when I lose control of it, you get the shakes and everything else. And it would just crack people up. But the beauty of this is that when you shared that love and changed that person's perspective, it fed throughout the whole community. Everybody in the community I live in knows my story. Every one of them knows the positive view I have on life. They know what I'm doing. And that is what we're talking about, this global love thing. It's really easy to shift people's perspectives of what they see into something they can believe in. Once that perspective changes, I walk now.
Nobody
ever feels sorry for me. I have no time for feeling sorry for myself. I'm very thankful I've had all these experiences. It's made me an amazing human being. And I've learned so much about it. And through that, embracing it, what I've been able to share with other people, getting other people to shift their perspectives of what they see, is taught them to embrace this new energy change. And the mere fact that they no longer looked at me as being somebody handicapped and needing help, all of a sudden they're cheering me. Yeah, we want to see Bill make it to the Olympics. In the morning, the guys would go driving by in their cars, honking their horns, saying, "Keep up the good work, Bill." That's how cool this stuff is once you shift into it. I just thought I'd share that with you. Rather than going off onto the how I deal with it with my OCD and everything, it's a little bit different there.
Right. Well, that's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that.
I mean, that's part of it, isn't it? Is that assumption and, of course, judgment, you know, are things that get in the way of us embracing possibilities. You know, if we restrict ourselves for just in the human mind, you know, all we are is a bunch of data that's been put in there. But when we incorporate our soul and our heart and our spirit into the conversation, we've now opened up to the universe, that beautiful universal energy intelligence. And now suddenly we know stuff. We don't need to understand why we know it. We don't have to understand the whole mechanics or the mathematics or the genetics of why. It's just understanding you can and simply do. And that's the beautiful thing, I think, of what you're teaching here, Richard, is that this is how you can do it. Just simply do it. See the results. That's all you need to know. You don't need to understand the whole, you know, mechanics behind it.
Yeah, it's the results are very self-evident to anybody willing to slow down and just look. I don't ask people to believe anything. Just look at the evidence of your own experience. It's right there.
I mean, Bill and I have known each other for a very, very long time. And when I met him, you know, I have fibromyalgia, I have asthma, I have myofascial, I've got a few other things going on. And, you know, I was fighting the drugs, trying to just take the nutritionals. And, you know, he was always saying, you don't need that, just use your energy. Now, I don't use my energy in the same way that he does. For me, as I said, it's that emotional energy. By keeping my emotions in check, I keep my body in check. But, you know, today, I mean, I might take a headache pill now and again when the pain gets bad. Otherwise, I've learned to, you know, override the pain or embrace the pain or just, you know, manipulate the pain. And it's, I'm probably healthier today than I have been in years by not going to doctors and having all those treatments. We learn to heal ourselves and understand our own body and what our body needs, don't we?
Absolutely. Well, I'm really glad both of you are able to take this kind of responsibility and be successful with it.
Now, there is a key word that you've used, responsibility. You know, we're in a world where everybody thinks if they have an issue or a problem, it's somebody else's fault or somebody else is responsible for their healing. And that is not the case. We have to take ownership and responsibility for our own minds, bodies, souls, and learn to invest time, knowledge, and care into our own bodies and seek out what is going to help us be well and not just, you know, I've got this pop a pill, it's somebody else's issue. We have to take that responsibility, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. I think responsibility is absolutely fundamental, because some people think that responsibility means owning the right insurance policy. But I believe in health assurance more than health insurance.
Nice.
I want to assure myself good health by having an incredibly healthy lifestyle, by doing things that are state-of-the-art, by constantly up-leveling my health regime every single week, doing better things this week than I did last week, and looking to see what else can I do, and continuing to improve. Now, I'm just turning 67. I have no pain in my body. Nobody believes my age. I'm stronger than I've ever been in my life. I won a golf tournament last year. I shot 400 par for the last 9 holes. And I don't believe in this aging process the way it's been sold to us.
Yeah.
And I'm putting together a workshop that's going to be like an audiobook. It's going to be called The Art of Youthing, teaching people how to slow, stop, and reverse the aging process. A lot of it is using energy, but much to some people's dismay, who actually took the workshop, the one time I taught it to kind of see how it worked out, is it's taking a huge amount of responsibility on every level, including all the dietary choices, the emotional work, the exercise you're getting, and how to lift your energy higher than you ever have before. And some of it's uncomfortable, but I kept telling people, you only have to change 2% a week. You don't have to change everything, just 2% a week. And if you're willing to take it to the max, this stuff really works. But there's some energy exercises that you won't even know how good this is until you've worked with them for about 2 or 3 months
yeah.
before you even begin to know how amazing the energy gets to be. And so it's kind of hard to show people right away how powerful it is. But here's the secret of youthing is that, well, actually the first big secret is that it was right in front of us all along. We ignored it. The whole process of doing any energy healing is a function of syntropy or negentropy. In other words, all aging is an entropy process where you go from order to disorder, regardless of what kind of aging we're talking about, the various forms of aging. But to reverse the aging, you need to reverse that whole energetic. So as an example, if you had a tower of blocks and you knocked them over, the blocks went from order to disorder. But what would it take to put the blocks back? You need energy, you need intelligence, and you need intent. Well, if you can raise the life force energy high enough in your system with the right intent and let the spiritual intelligence do the work, you're automatically, just the work you're doing is automatically a form of what I call youthing, which is slowing, stopping, and reversing aging. Now, to take it as far as you can go, we need to do every single thing we can think of energetically, emotionally, and nutritionally, and lifestyle-wise to do the things that will stop causing degeneration to the system and do the things that cause regeneration to the system. And beyond that, it's about working with your higher self to change the DNA of the mitochondria, of the cells, and to create more stem cells. And these are the functions of a program that I think of as youthing the body.
Well, I love that title, youthing the body. I mean, you know, they say grow old gracefully, and it's like, no, I'm kicking and screaming all the way. And, you know, as I said, I'm healthier now that I don't do any of the medication things and do more of the meditation things, and a lot of what we do is, of course, is mindset. And now you heard me laugh a moment ago because you talked about chaos to order, which is entirely this new program that Bill has done based on the quantum mathematics and energy. So Bill, just, you know, I know that you took a deep breath there, a little bit on the order and disorder.
Yeah, it's just funny. It's just a really unique term to use because I look at quantum physics from another side as well. I actually have a mathematical background, so an engineering background, so I understand the math of it and this whole structure. We could do a whole show on this. We should actually talk after, get to know each other a lot better after the show, Richard, because some of the theories I've proved in quantum physics are pretty mind-blowing. Relating to the quantum chaos order theory and how the human mind processes it and all the interconnection values that happen within the human body, how the quantum energy actually flows through the body, which is pretty mind-blowing. But it's really important, I think, from the standpoint of what we do in life. The golden rule I live by, and I think it's one of the toughest things to overcome in being human. One of our strongest defense mechanisms that we're born with kicks in, and it's intentionally built there to protect us, and it's to overcomplicate our lives. And your youthing program, when you're talking about the DNA and stuff, that's really cool, because when you actually, I preach everybody, just simplify your life. Get it as simple as you can. Because it's unfortunately, the human mind wants to overcomplicate everything. It's a form of protection. You want to make yourself into a unique individual amongst this chaotic system so people can recognize you within this chaotic order that we've created called a society. And in our whole life, we age. 90% of our aging is caused by trying to fit in to this fictitious ordered structure that we've built. And the amount of complexity that we add to our life in order that we conform to this artificial structure we've built. When in reality, if we ignore all of that, you don't grow old. You just won't grow old because you've totally eliminated all the complication from your life. I live a very simple life. Very simple. I don't get hung up on things. Yeah. I don't get caught up in the rigmaroles of this artificial ordered system that we've built. Called it a capitalist democratic society. That's all bullshit. It was all it was all created to form us to conform to that system. And in the process of doing that, we've overcomplicated our lives because we want to stand out as unique individuals amongst this highly chaotic ordered system. So we built an ordered system that actually within that ordered system is totally chaotic. So out of every time you build a chaotic, an ordered system, within that ordered system, you create more chaos. It's just ordered chaos. And it keeps going on and on and on. You remove yourself from that. And all of a sudden, you don't have that problem.
Yeah,
I don't get older. Yeah, I get wiser.
Yeah, you've got to step outside of the collective unconscious
nonsense
that's out there. And so it's really good points that you're bringing up.
Simplicity is something that's really essential in the world, isn't it? And I think this is something as you get older. I mean, as children, we're simple. You know, we just simply enjoy life and simply respond to life. But then as we get older, there are more and more of these expectations put on us, dictations put on us of what we should be. And when we just, as we get older and as we're willing to take the journey and learn, we realize that that the beauty of life and everything that we want out of life is actually in the simplicity of living our lives. And we don't need any of this kind of highfalutin importance that we think defines us, that we're really defined in that beautiful collective simplicity of being.
Of being self.
I kind of have a slightly different take on it. I think that life can be easy if we're willing to explore the complexity. So it's a slightly different take on it. But I believe that ease is the mark of spiritual growth, not rather than simplicity.
Well, we can simply make it easier.
Well, I think that when we're willing to explore the complexity of, like, for instance, our emotional structures, there's a lot of emotions that we're feeling, and it's not simple. There's a lot of depth to what we're experiencing, and most people haven't learned how to slow down and be willing to experience all the intensity of the emotions. And the reason the emotions are so difficult to access is because our hurt is deeper than we want to know, but our love is actually deeper than we can know. And so because it takes us right to the core of our being, and it's so vulnerable, that there's a lot of stuff that people don't want to have to think about or feel, because frankly it hurts so much, it's so painful to explore everything that's there. And yet in that exploration, the wonder of who we really are shows up, and that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, you know, you have to take the journey. There is no escaping of that. It isn't just about abstaining from life and society and say, I'm going to live a simple life now, and you're not willing to take the work. Every single one of us needs to unravel and take this journey of self-discovery. And, you know, why is that hurt so dictatorial in my life? What was that pain? How do I get rid of that and empower the love and the healing? Yeah, everybody has to take a journey. But what I'm saying is not overcomplicating it by, you know, by trying to, you know, overemphasize. There's a beautiful movie out there right now called Inside Out. And I think every single person should to watch it. It's an animated movie, and it's on the emotions. And it's about every emotion we have is there to tell us something. Mm. You know, if we're angry, if we're mad, if we're indifferent, there's a reason for it. Understand where there's that emotion coming from. Don't just ignore it. Pay attention to it, because if you don't, its voice is going to get louder and louder and louder until it becomes dictatorial. Understand what those balances are, but you know, those emotions are, in order to keep them in balance. So there is an awful lot of intellect, but I think what you talked about, divine intellect in understanding who we are, rather than just the human intellect, which likes to overcomplicate.
I like what you said about getting louder and louder. That's been my experience. There's an old adage in spirituality that if you learn to listen to the whispers of your reality, you don't have to hear the screams.
Exactly.
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 And I got to thank you for correcting the word usage there. A simple is, my definition of simple is like a very slow life. I don't rush into things. And I'm glad you clarified that, because I really meant it to be like, I take the time. And I remove the complexities of it. But what I actually have to process, like you say, you explain, like I say, you're a great writer. You take things that I say and you've corrected it, and you've actually explained it the way I wanted to explain, because the things that I've simplified are actually very complex structures, massively complex structures. And it's understanding how all of those structures fit together so that you can exist a very simple life.
Yeah, well, it's
a slow life.
It takes working with the complexity to understand the simplicity.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I was missing in the way. So thanks. As I say, it's great work. This conversation is really good, because you bring out the part that I missed saying, and it's the fact that it is.
I can't remember who said it. It was, you know, Mark Twain or Thomas Jefferson or someone. I apologize for not remembering, but he was writing a letter, and he said, I apologize that the letter is so long. If I had more time, I'd have made it shorter.
exactly, because you could take all the complexity out of it and just get to the point.
But that's actually,
you have to go through the complexity to get to the point.
Exactly.
And that is simplifying it, right? It's taking all that complexity, and it's like when, you know, as a writer, you'll do the first draft, the second draft, and you can take something that's big and fat, and it'll get whittled down to something that is smaller, to the point, and simpler to understand. So, you know, I think this is where we're looking at, is that why are we overcomplicating our lives by taking on things that simply do not belong? The other huge thing, is taking that time, that big, huge, golden four-letter word, time, to invest in ourselves. Nothing is going to change in our life if we're not willing to invest time on our own healing, on our own journey, and our own development.
Yes. Well said.
And just another summation about what we're talking about here, about the complexity. Okay, I've spent 45 years. I was introduced to Pascal's triangle when I was 8 years old, and that mathematical algorithm has basically plagued me my whole life. Because that sequence of numbers contains all the answers to pretty well every quantum physics dimension there is. And it's taken me 45 years to figure it all out. And 45 years worth of research, give you some idea of all the things I've had to go through physically. I've had the first accident I had, I've had to teach myself how to walk despite everybody else saying I couldn't walk, I'd be crippled, everything else. It's a story in itself how that happened. And then all the years I spent in business, running businesses and running very successful businesses, and then walking away from that lifestyle, starting a whole life over again. All of these journeys, the complexity that I had to go through, if you see the summation of that 45 years worth of research work, has been summarized into one page rather than thousands of books that I could have written over the years. It's one page that lays the whole theory out, and it's totally self-explanatory. So when we're talking about the complexity. The mind does want to build complexities, but it's the ability to build a complex thing. Like you're saying, to reverse the aging process, you'd have to take that complex structure, smash it down so it's all the individual components again, and then rebuild it.
That's right.
The way it's supposed to be done.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what people are afraid to do. They're afraid to knock down that established structure because it's so big. They're afraid that if it all falls into a million pieces on the floor, they're not going to know what to do with it. But the thing is, it doesn't matter because the pieces are there. You put it back together. And if you create something new, the thing is, you build something new and more beautiful than what was there. Mm-hmm. They're just components that you assembled one way. But knock it down, folks. Build something new. Build something exciting from it. And it's amazing what you can do.
Well said. I like that.
And this is, of course, you know, using your human intelligence. But let us talk a little more on that divine intelligence. You know, my whole premises of everything where I come from is the knowingness, and that is, you know, when people say they have a gut feeling, and they don't know why, they just have a gut feeling. Well, that's where I believe that soul resonates, and that soul intelligence, which is the divine knowledge, goes into. It resonates with the heart in excitement and passion. It goes to the spirit into action, physical or verbal. And then the mind, which is the old CPU in the database, knows what it needs to know at the time it needs to know it. If we trust that knowledge, just like you trust that energy, we're allowing that energy to come through us and define and refine what we need to know at the time we need to know it. A lot of the time, we really need to step out of our own way, don't we? And let that universal energy come through us.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. Because we really have been socialized and trained to almost not know who we are.
Yeah.
Or know what we are. And when we gain access to that, it becomes such a surprise. It's really funny. One of my friends, Chris Duffield, he's a scientist, and he also is one of the co-authors of my latest book. And he was attending a Quantum Touch Level 2 workshop for the second time. First time, he could only absorb it because he was so skeptical that anything could possibly work. He just couldn't allow himself to even try to do the work. But the second time through, he managed to rationalize that this is just an experiment and you don't have to believe it. That's how closed down he was to the idea of this stuff. And he was working on a man who had broken his nose about nine or ten times when he was a teenager. And Chris was sitting across from him and just meditating on the structure inside his face and moving the energy. We're working with the heart chakra primarily in the level two work. And the man taps his knee after about 2 or 3 minutes of work and says, "Oh my God, I just felt a loud snapping noise in my face and now I can breathe comfortably." And the whole nose had completely restructured itself in no time at all. And so he kept having these experiences that were so far outside the box of what he thought was possible. It was pretty funny watching his jaw just dropped open for half the class. Oh my God, because he kept seeing things that he knew weren't possible. And finally, he just had to give up and say, okay, it keeps working even when he knows it won't.
That's the cool thing. People ask me if you can use this power negatively. I say it's almost impossible. The energy won't allow you to use it negatively. For some reason, when you use it, it naturally realigns itself to follow a perfectly ordered system, balanced system. So it's impossible for you to throw it out. Like, yeah. It's amazing when you actually see it work. Like it just when it works and when you've got it aligned, you can't abuse it in a negative way.
No, you really can't, because the only way to access the energy is to raise your vibration higher. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you don't have any power. In other words, if you wanted to shine a dark light on somebody, you can't turn on the darkness.
Yeah,
you can only turn on a light, but you can't hit the dark switch on the wall. And so if you wanted to send darkness, it really doesn't exist in that regard, because you're only magnifying your own unhappiness when you try to do something like that. You're not actually blasting somebody else. But there's so much mythology about that subject, believing, you know, in evil and such like that. There's been so many myths perpetrated to get people to be afraid.
Yeah. Yes.
Actually, that's more than anything else, the fear thing. And all I was trying to point out here is just that, you know, the way this energy works, it's not good, it's not bad. It just is.
Yes.
Yeah. The energy
it just is. There's no good or bad aspect to it.
It's who we are.
Yes, exactly. And there's something else that, you know, we talked about a little while ago, you know, when we talked about the sound, the noise. The people who think they have the power are screaming at the top of their voice, and they think the louder they scream, the more power they have. We know where the empowerment is in the whisper. And when you learn that it is the whisper that speaks volumes, you realize that those loud voices are just somebody fighting against the system, and you learn to tune in to listen to the whispers.
Yeah, that's really a good point.
Oh, we got a siren going in the background.
Yeah, well, those are the whispers.
Exactly.
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 Okay, I want to know how open your mind are to something really unique right now. A learning experience.
Okay,
it's a little bit outside the realm that we're talking right now, but kind of related. Because what I'm going to do right now is I want to share with you something that's really cool, that when you really start tuning into the energy fields around you, it's amazing what you can learn. So in my particular case, the energies I have around me, like if I go to spiritual readers and everybody like that, they've always said that you're kind of a strange guy because you amass this huge amount of death around you, massive amounts of death around me. And it's actually really cool that it actually happens. It actually gets drawn to me. And I'll explain what it is. So we talk about this spiritual energy, the past lives and all of these, the spiritual entities that actually exist. Cool thing is in quantum physics, they really do exist. They're actually physical entities that do exist. And I'll give you a quick synopsis of how this happens. Human beings, we are nothing more than biological androids. Really, we're just a robot that's biological. Everything's electronic inside us. Our brains are actually, our memories, everything are all stored just like in a computer. It's all electronically stored. And there's this constant flow of electricity making sure all of this stuff is actually happening. When you die, the laws of physics state that no energy is destroyed. It just transfers form. So normally when a person dies, all the energy, all the memories and everything that you have in your body, all those electrical signals get massed out into the way the quantum fields work. There's like it's like an ocean. So a lot of people, when they die, those memories now get floated out into the ocean. And that all that knowledge, you wouldn't believe the amount of knowledge, the quantum energy field that surrounds your body is like the ultimate set of dictionaries, encyclopedias. Anything you want to know is right there. It's just you have to know how to tap into it. So when you talk about entities, certain people, when they die, when their energy leaves their body, it stays contained. It forms a ball around itself. A human body, when it's alive, there's actually an energy ball around you. Okay, and it's just a way that in order for you to function, there's a certain amount of energy that has to flow through your body. But just like the Earth, your body has this crust around it, an energy crust around it that prevents the body from taking in too much or extending too much of your energy back out into the quantum energy fields around you so you don't cause a total disruption. When you die, sometimes the energy, that whole system collapses, stays compartmentalized. And when you talk about spirits, okay, a good friend of mine, she committed suicide 30 years ago, no, 20 years ago, somewhere around there.
Longer.
She committed suicide, and when she committed suicide, her energy ball didn't dissipate. She didn't become part of the common knowledge or the common quantum energy field. Her energy ball stayed 100% solid. She's with me right now. She's always with me. The cool thing is she actually, as far as she's concerned, she's still alive. She sees the real world the way it is right now, and she feels that she's part of that world. And we communicate back and forth. Blaise Pascal, I tapped into, like I say, when I was 8 years old, I don't know why it happened, but he stuck to me. I have all of these entities. So when we talk about all of these people who see ghosts, believe me, folks, they aren't ghosts. They're real living entities. They exist within this quantum quantum energy matrix. What it is that when they died, their recorded information never disseminated into the big ocean. For some reason, they stayed compartmentalized. And what spiritualists do when they actually use quantum energy in a very unique way, because they have the ability to go in and they can actually penetrate and they can collapse that bubble. And so when they say they're releasing that soul back into the universe so it's free, basically what they have the capability of doing, they're directing energy. When you, I can watch their hands. I know when somebody's really is doing it, because when they attach to that ball, they can literally, they just take it and they just, it looks like, you know what the Northern Lights look like?
Sure.
Okay, well, when they actually collapse one of these bubbles and set one of these bubbles of energy free, that's what it looks like. It just looks like they've just created this whole Aurora Borealis thing that opens up, and then that energy is free to dissipate and becomes part of the larger quantum energy field. So I just wanted to share that with you. In this quantum thing, we're talking, these fields actually exist. It's not just what we can do within our body, but the amount of quantum energy around us is unbelievably huge.
That's the thing. That's what we call with the universal energy. It's a collective. It would be rather sad to think that all this accumulative knowledge that we've gathered in each lifetime would just dissipate with us when we go. You know, it's all we are doing is going home back to that collective, as you put, ocean or universe, and then it becomes that information, that knowingness that I talk about. You know, that you need to know. You ask a question, the universe will answer. And that is, you know, that beautiful big library that is out there. And we've also got to stop thinking, you know, stop restricting ourselves so much by only thinking from a human level. We are, you know, divine beings having a human experience. And when we merge those two together, then we really are an incredible human being. Richard, I'm sure you've got some points on here.
Well, I really like that Teilhard de Chardin quote about we're spiritual beings having a human experience. Yes. It really is true, and it fascinates me that science has been really caught up in materialism, assuming that everything that's real can be broken down into math and physics, that you can measure or quantify everything, and it's really not true. And my little demonstration of untwisting people is a very clear, fast, visible, repeatable, and robust demonstration that our love is actually real, and that the mechanistic model of reality that's been the common assumption by 99% of the scientists out there is flawed. It's incomplete. Yeah. And we really do have these abilities, and one of my long-term goals, and you even read it in that little passage in my book, is to see a bridge between science and spirituality and to have the research done so as to show that. And I'm actually putting together an experiment soon and don't know if it's going to work the way I want it to, but if it does, it'll be a very clear demonstration that consciousness affects matter. But we have to test it out and find out what happens. And if it works, we're going to get it published and try to repeat it over and over again and get more and more scientists to try to criticize it until we've done it 5 or 6 times and hopefully it can get published in something like Nature.
I've actually spoken to a number of scientists who are actually realizing that this word spirituality and people that live there, and you said it at the beginning of the hour, woo-woo, as they call it, that they're now realizing that it is quantumly measurable, but the people that choose to live in the spirituality are actually living in the energy as opposed to them just measuring the energy.
Yes, yes.
It's coming together. Everything is coming together. The world is awakening. That vibration is rising. People are realizing there's so much more, and they're so capable of living these very, very beautifully healthy, abundant lives if they start looking at the enrichment being in mind, body, and soul and not being in materialism. The tide is changing. We are seeing that difference. Every day, I know you awaken people, Richard, to this beautiful technique that they can do for themselves. You know, with what Bill is doing, with this tool that is going to enable people even more to kind of that order and chaos. It's all happening, and all we've got to do is just keep that volume rising, keep it rising, keep it rising, keep nurturing in it, because this is the way we are going as human beings. This is our future existence, and the more we embrace it, the more we will truly live life as it's meant to be.
Well said. Thank you.
Well, folks, we've got to the end of that hour. In fact, we've gone over now. I don't care. We had so much great information here. Richard, would you please tell everybody again how they can get hold of both of your books, and if they want to join the program or if they want to become certified, how do they find you and what do they do?
Well, you can find everything at quantumtouch.com. And it's right there, all the certification information. The books are also on Amazon and everywhere else. But it's just quantumtouch.com, and you'll be able to find everything that we have available.
And I really, really do recommend people get the book. It's just, you know, as you say, a simple, beautiful manual of usability, because it's simply told in a usable manner. And so if you just want to even read it and start dabbling in it, start trying it out, this is the book that's going to help you on your way. And Bill, how would you like people to get hold of you?
Easiest way is just either check out Wise Health on PLV Radio. That's probably the fastest way to get a hold of me. And everything's up there you need to know. If you have any questions, we have a forum on there. You can send questions that you'd like us to cover on the Wise Health Show, and we look forward to hearing from you. And this has been a blast. And again, thank you very, very much for the time coming to have this talk with me, and for writing this book. Like I say, you've saved me a hell of a lot of time. I now have a source that I can send people to that I can trust and believe in, and you've simplified my life greatly. Because I'm not a teacher. It's not something that I have the abilities or the desires to do. And having this resource available for people, it is amazing. Thank you for all the years that you've put into believing in this and practicing it and sharing your knowledge with the world. Because that's what it's about, is raising awareness for this. And when, you know, When the naturopaths and stuff started out in the 40s and 50s, look where they are today. They're now accredited. They're recognized as a practice. This whole quantum energy thing that in all of these energy forms of energy healing, we're still in an infancy stage.
Exactly.
And you know what? As long as we keep fighting for it, it will succeed. Well, and so thank you very, very much for all your dedication and your lifetime putting into this. Because like I say, you've made my life so cool, buddy.
You're really going to enjoy the Level 2 book, The New Human. Because okay. If you like the basic Quantum Touch book, the next one's written the same way. It's immediately available and understandable, but it's going to take you further, a lot further.
Wow,
that's amazing. Yeah, like I say, this one works really good for the people that I know, and they're just questioning and getting started. It's a great introduction to it, and they can read it and they can figure it out. And like I say, thank you so much for dedicating your life to this and making my life easier.
Appreciate it. Well, you've been dedicating your life too, and I appreciate that.
Now, we're all fighting for the same thing. It's raising awareness for it, and to add credibility to everything. This stuff really does exist, folks. I have mathematical experiences and engineering experiences, and I have models that prove that these quantum energy fields exist. And Richard's done the other side of it. He's proved it. He's got the system that works for you for using this as a methodology of self-healing. I'm 100% believer that you can heal anything. You don't need anybody to help you heal any of your health problems. You can do it all yourself, mind over matter. What I believe in.
Using the energy.
So,
yeah.
That's what it's about. So, thanks again for the show with me. I've had a blast.
Hey, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
And, folks, you know, it's all up to you. I mean, you are the only person that can make a choice over your own life. And if you really, truly want to live a life that is worth living, then you're going to have to spend some time investigating, and also exploring what is out there for you that can really change your life. This isn't just about your health. It's about your entire well-being. Take a journey, buy the book, Start practicing and just see where it can take you. Until next time, folks, it all starts with you.